You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we're continuing now. We're going to talk a little bit more about wind turbines. And we welcome to Zoomer Radio, Carmen Crowe. Carmen, thanks very much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Dale, for having me.
Carmen, can you tell everyone, those who aren't acquainted with your work, of your extensive work over the past number of years regarding the health effects of wind turbines? Give us a bit of a thumbnail so we can better appreciate what you're going to tell us.
All right. I've been researching this topic of adverse health effects in wind turbines for about 4 years now. I'm a published author in peer-reviewed journal, so my research is in that. And one of my pieces of research has been cited in an editorial in the British Medical Journal, so it's getting out there. And as well, I've done lots of information sessions. And finally, I have been meeting with senior authorities, both in the province and with Health Canada. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have a medical background as well in pharmacy.
That's correct.
All right. Okay. Now, what do you make? First off, I know you have sent a letter to Health Canada regarding this study. Do you want to start there? What are your concerns about the study as announced and as proposed?
Well, first of all, I'm encouraged that Health Canada believes there's enough evidence to merit a study.
It is encouraging to hear that, is it not?
Yeah. Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And it opens up, before I get into my letter there, it opens up the position that we need precaution, which I think we've been hearing for many years. Two things, a moratorium so that we don't build any more projects and risk people. And then we've got to do something to resolve those that are already suffering ill health. And I've heard things like maybe decommissioning, but we've got to restore them back or resolve their problems, and we need a quick response to that.
What about the cynics, Carmen, who are saying, oh, no, this is nothing more than the government simply lining up conditions so the wind turbine operators can continue?
Well, I think that can be answered through the analysis of the study design and the membership of the study group. I do have some concerns, and I think many people do because the governments haven't stepped up to the plate yet, and there's been appeals through both provincially and federally for someone to do something and to help people. And I have, during my meetings with Health Canada, advised that the trust factor and confidence is very low right now.
Yes,
so
I would think
so. That will need a fair amount of effort to restore.
Now, that takes us, I think, to your letter, because you're a little concerned about the feedback process being only 30 days in which individuals and organizations can say to Health Canada, here's how you should design the study, right?
That's correct. And there's a couple of things in there. I wrote to the Prime Minister's office. The reason I did is that I had been requested to put a draft proposal for how to research this topic. And I was looking at a dose-response relationship, so that was a confidential document at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we don't have a lot of information on the design and a little bit on methodology, and these are important things to know. So our ability to do science comment is probably somewhat limited. I'm seeking clarifications on a number of areas. And 30 days isn't enough time, not only for the science, but holiday time, communities are busy. So I was requesting an extension to at least 90 days.
Mm-hmm. And you've just sent that, so you've had no chance for feedback yet, I guess.
No, but I have acknowledgement, like a read receipt, that I did receive it. So I'm hoping that to give a fair chance, we should have a longer comment period. And as well, I'm hoping to have those people suffering ill health and some of the peer-reviewed researchers on wind turbines to give them an opportunity to help with the design.
Well, and, sure. Who would know better than them?
Yeah. So right now, that's my second issue, is that I looked at the composition of the committee, and I am getting clarifications there as well. I'm not on it.
I noticed that. I looked at the list.
Yeah, I've offered, but no bites. I should be on it. I'm published and probably in Canada am the most peer-reviewed author. As well, there's a number of people who you've interviewed, I know, who are expressing surprise that they're not on this committee.
As well. Yeah. Well, what of those who are on the committee? Do you know many of them?
I know some.
Yeah.
And this is not to be critical of their qualifications on research or anything, but this is a really complex subject, and the very bare bones that we have is showing the study is only going to scratch the surface. And from the points that were raised in the documents that were published on the website, this study is not going to show causation. It's only going to show an association. That means we already know things like symptoms are occurring. I think that's well demonstrated. And it's also not going to show prevalence, which means incidence, like how many are at risk. So the study can't do everything.
Well, without showing those important things, the study is still going to be worthwhile, isn't it?
Absolutely. But this is where I'm really emphasizing. This is why we need a moratorium, because one study isn't going to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
We have many complex issues to research, and it really shows that, to me, the Health Canada material that they've provided shows that we can't wait till 2014 to get a piece of what's going on, because by then we'll have many, many more turbines, many people at risk, and probably many more sick.
Well, in fact, I would think provinces such as Ontario would use the next 2 years to get approve as many wind turbines as it can, knowing that something might happen in 2014.
Yes, that's right. I don't know if you noticed, you may not have had a chance, but one of the statements that caught my eye on material presented was, it says, don't waste time on measuring the prevalence of reported health effects from wind farms. Assume that they're going to proliferate in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, for me, from the health perspective and having worked with these people, and I know you've talked to them and interviewed them and so on, 2014, my gosh, we have to do something. Like I was saying, a very quick response on not harming anybody else or risking any health anymore.
Well, let's hope that. So you want an extension to 90 days? Was that what your request was?
Yes, suggesting October 12th.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful. It's a logical request, and I'm hopeful that we'll hear quickly. And if people are interested in supporting that, I believe my letter is made public now.
Yes.
And people are welcome to make their comments.
Yes, and if they go to the Health Canada website, as a matter of fact, that announcement is still at the top of the page, and there are places there where you can offer your own reaction as well, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with hundreds of emails from around the world. As you are aware, I'm international.
I bet, yeah.
And I think this has created so much interest, and we certainly, from a scientific perspective, want to help Health Canada do a good study, so that this is a good study, and that's why I'm trying to ensure that the wind turbine researchers have the opportunity to assist with well, they're firsthand. They're in the trench, you know, and in the trenches. So I want to make sure that we make this the best that we can. And I guess restore trust and confidence is going to be very important.
Well, there's certainly a long way to go with the new slash old environment minister in Ontario, Jim Bradley. He has simply quoted the old line about no direct causal link between wind turbine noise and adverse health effects, and he's just sitting on that. So that represents absolutely nothing new coming from the Ontario government.
Yes, and it's totally incorrect. I mean, we have more than ample evidence, including an industry-commissioned scientific advisory panel that acknowledges, things like symptoms and that these are well-known stress effects from exposure to noise and so forth. So, I mean, it is disturbing that there's no progress in Ontario to acknowledge that there's a problem.
None at all. They've simply stood on that, and Mr. Bradley did tell reporters that he would be pleased to read the study when it comes out, and I thought, wow, there you go.
Well, I've been told that the goal is 10,000 turbines.
It is indeed, yes. It's written down in many places, 10,000. Can you imagine? We have a little over 1,000 now and 10,000.
Yeah.
So 10 times as many turbines when you're driving around the countryside.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Dale, some days I get phone calls, like even one last night. You reach a point where you can't listen. It is very disturbing, and it hurts. So we do need to do something about these people.
Do you think the study would, and I heard what you said earlier in terms of what the study will not do, so it's not going to be able to, for example, quantify those who would be suffering adverse health effects?
Well, this is so complicated. I think the analogy would be something like tobacco research, where it took many, many, many studies.
Yeah.
And we still have not proven total causation, what we mean, the exact mechanism in the body. However, we know there's an association for risk factors.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about, that we can show association. However, for some reason, causation has become the big buzzword. And tobacco has been 50 years. I remember migraine headaches. We don't have the exact mechanisms for some of those types of different types of migraines. We don't know exact mechanisms for types of cancer, but we recognize there's risk factors, associations, and we do something about it.
Well, sure, it may not meet the strict scientific definition of causation, but we can certainly, as mere mortals, put two and two together.
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking to Carmen Crow. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call right now at 416-360-0740. Or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Carmen Crow is my guest for the next few moments. A number of people here would like to ask questions. Here's the number if you'd like to try to get through to 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Carmen, before I go to the phones, I want to get your reaction to what I was told by Ken Bondi, an official at the CAW, talking about that single wind turbine that's about to go into operation in Port Elgin, in which many houses are within 200 to 300 meters of the wind turbine, and we're being told, well, that's okay because it's not that big a wind turbine, and of course it was approved before the Green Energy Act anyway.
Yeah, that's a very concerning case, because the 550-meter MOE standard is not being followed. And I don't have expertise in the noise output, but my understanding is it does put out a fair substantial amount of noise. So there is concern that...
It's a big industrial... I've seen it. It's a big industrial wind turbine,
I've
yes.
I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
And so I would anticipate there's going to be some problems there because that's very close.
I would think that wind turbine is located closer to where more people sleep than any other wind turbine in Ontario.
Yeah.
I can't think of anywhere else where it's quite that close.
Yeah.
Now...
I'm aware of that facility, and I have been there to do an information session.
Yeah.
Getting the 550 meter passed by, like, we'll get a pass on that. I don't know, like, it shouldn't have happened.
Well, they're arguing, it was before the Green Energy Act, and somehow the wind turbine, its output isn't that high, and on and on. But really, I can't, it's so technically... complex. I can't understand exactly what they're trying to tell me.
That's where I was saying there's complexity, but the principle of the 550 meters.
It's still there, and there's a house even across the road from the wind turbine. You could throw a rock and hit the house.
Yeah.
Or you could throw from the house and hit the turbine. Mm-hmm. Here's Sandy calling from Ripley. Sandy, do you have a comment or a question for Carmen?
Yes. First, Dale, thank you for taking my call. The second is I really support the moratorium on the for all your listeners who are out there, and also I also support a write-in for the extension so there's more time, because in maybe Carmen can clear this up. I didn't see anything in the study that talked about the landowners and neighbors who have gag orders included, also people who have left their homes and are not going to be within the study, and they would be totally missed. And I didn't also see any follow-up or long-term parts to the study.
Okay, good points. What about that, Sandy? Or what about that, Carmen?
Yeah, thank you, Sandy, for that. There's so much to tell. I had a conference call not too long ago, and I raised all those factors. They're looking at noise from acoustics, and a whole bunch of elements, social, economic elements, all the things that you've raised are not being looked at. Aesthetics, which are your visual shadow flicker, are not being addressed. So there's a whole host of issues, and this is where the study design is essential, and I need more facts.
That sounds terrific. Also, the timeline for the 1 week is problematic in my mind, since I know people who have symptoms didn't show up for a month to 6 months after. So that is of concern because when I teach my students about validity and quality of a study, and you would like it to be as robust as possible in order for it to stand up to scrutiny worldwide.
What I did is, during that call, said that you needed to track for 6 months. And seasonally, and as well, there had to be established long-term surveillance to back up things. So all of those points, you're perfectly correct. I covered those off during the call, but I haven't seen the details, so I don't know what was picked up. And as well, as I mentioned, I think I'll probably have to put out the draft proposal of how to do this research based on a dose-response relationship, because that's where we're at, is we need to look at the dose would be the distance. It's the distance is the proxy for dose, and that's where I feel we need to start studying it. So I have to see what their details are, and I'm trying to get that.
Okay, thank you very much, and Dale, thank you.
All right, thanks, Sandy, for your call. Dose response, okay, but you, mere mortals, but you can extrapolate that as distance response, right?
Yes, because you see, right now, that's how we do medication. You look at, as soon as a dose starts causing an adverse effect, you look at that, and if it's a serious effect, well, you lower the dose.
Yeah.
And so the distance is what I would consider it's the proxy for a dose. And I described how this study could be done.
Well, and in fact, we've heard from many people who also say, just in a by the way, on this whole issue, that the 550 meters is not a proper setback anyway.
No, we're seeing Australia is seeing 2 kilometers and more, mm-hmm. and I'm aware research is going on for further distances there. So 550 is inadequate, and that's why we've got a major issue here.
Looking at the world, and now the announcement taken by Health Canada for this particular study into health effects. Where does that put us in the pack? Are we just barely keeping up with some other countries and their concerns, or are we moving out in front a bit?
Well, I would say we're getting behind. Well, we were behind anyway.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of movement to that 2K, and I'm also seeing internationally projects are not being approved now. Whereas before, say last year, they were pretty much automatic. So I've been tracking those that aren't being approved in other jurisdictions like UK and United States. Now, it's not a floodgate yet.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more than we were seeing. And usually the basis of it has been health risk.
And right in Kings County, just outside of Halifax, of course, the council there has put a moratorium on any large wind farm developments in order that they can look at health effects. And unlike Ontario, there's no Green Energy Act, so they're allowed to make that decision for themselves and proceed on their own, looking at their own study into health effects.
That's right.
Well, that's all to the good, I'm assuming, for those who are concerned about these things.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I'm seeing, the trend, where we didn't see rejections of projects very often. And this is not taking place where legal actions have been filed. These are townspeople.
This is just processed through a municipality, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before it gets into court.
Right.
Yeah. Do we know, and I keep returning to this because I think it's an important fact, do we know right now, or do you have a best estimate or even guesstimate of how many people in Ontario who have been affected by wind turbines, have had their health affected by wind turbines? Is there any way to quantify that?
Well, we did do some of that with one of our surveys, that independent survey that's now published. However, it's underreported, tremendously underreported, and I base that on the numbers of calls and people that phone to just talk.
Yeah.
And what we don't have is an official vigilance monitoring program, which I've been trying to get going with Health Canada for years, because we did it on a voluntary basis on our own hook, and our protocol stood up. I mean, it's published. But there needs to be a mandatory monitoring in that if any complaints are made to a developer, like in drugs, like suppose a drug complaint is made, the company must report it to the government. And we don't have the thousands of reports of health problems and noise problems that have gone to the Ministry of Environment. I know of one person that estimated over 400. So none of those are captured in a database, and
the Minister of the Environment, if you called up and said you had a health effect complaint, they wouldn't even take the complaint. They'd say, "Oh no, we're not tracking that."
Yes, and I've heard that as well in some cases.
Yeah.
So we don't. We're lacking a reporting structure right now. Also that includes buyouts. We don't have mandatory reporting of financial arrangements.
Yeah.
And that would be very helpful because it would give us estimates of how the siting was done and the distances and so forth.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. First off, that you'll get your 90 days and that more people will be able to put some feedback into the whole process and get the right people sitting down at the same table looking at these issues.
Yes, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We can't wait till 2014 to resolve here and now. And we also, I believe we're at the stage for an inquiry. I've been encouraging that for a long time, and we do need an inquiry to assist. It would other countries like Australia has done several, and those have been helpful because they've helped to set the starting point of 2 kilometers.
It was the Australian Senate that had the inquiry, I believe, was
yeah,
it not?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so federally, provincially, something, we need an inquiry here.
Well, we can hold our breath until we turn blue. There's not going to be any inquiry initiated by Ontario. Pardon me for being skeptical or even cynical.
Well, who would have, I know. Well, we have managed some things.
Yes, that's right. No, I mean, when and sometimes when progress is made, you sit back and you look at it and you say, is this progress? Is this really what we think
yeah.
it is?
Well, I was told when I got involved in this, it would be 5 years at least of commitment, and I'm 4 years now, so I hope to retire next year.
Well, I think you better be backing it up a bit. I don't think anything is going to be, nothing mad. 5 years in terms of turning large ships around, like governments or even big industry, isn't enough time.
Well, we, yeah, I know it isn't. However, I think the fact that this is global and there's an international effort going on, Ontario is one piece of this, and the international community, like I say, it's a very coordinated approach now and sharing a lot of science and people working together, thank goodness for the Internet.
Well, that's true. And sooner or later, if the Ontario government, I would think, continues with this current stance, it's going to really stand out, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us today, Carmen.
I
really appreciate your time.
I appreciate this very much, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Dale. Bye-bye.
Take care
now.
Bye-bye. All right. There's Carmen Crowe, been working at this only 4 years.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.